It's time to talk sports in Northeast North Carolina. This is NENC Sports Radio Show on WRVS 89.9.
Episode 23 of the second season coming at you. It's the NENC Sports Radio Show. What's our names? Owen Hassel, sports editor of the Daily Advance newspaper, alongside Advance sports writer Malcolm Shields. We're on each week thanks to WRVS 89.9 FM. It's WRVS, and it's your
community voice.
And speaking of WRVS, our guest with us again, a repeat guest, the program director for Elizabeth City State's campus station, the voice of the Vikings. Also back into officiating area sports, it's Randy Jones. Randy, you're back on the court. Is it like riding a bike?
Yeah, it just is. I want to tell you, man, thanks so much again for having me. And, you know, we're just so grateful here at WRVS to have such a great show and all the great work you're doing for all the athletes here in Northeastern North Carolina. Hey, thanks again, man. I'm happy to be here and happy to be back on the court.
All right. Well, for more on Northeastern North Carolina sports, follow us on Twitter. Also use that hashtag NENC Sports to keep the discussion rolling. You can follow us at NENC Sports. Then for me, I'm at ONOBX, Malcolm.
And Malcolm underscore Shields.
Randy Jones ain't got Twitter, so we're not going to talk about it, but he does have Facebook, so look him up sometime.
That's right.
There's more ways to stay involved with sports in Northeastern North Carolina in the form of a blog. Go to nencsports.wordpress.com for tidbits that aren't always in the Daily Advance, plus interviews and videos from various Northeastern North Carolina games.
This is Coach Kendrick Parker of the Pasquotank County High School Panthers, and you're listening to the NENC Sports Radio Show with Owen Hassel.
Well, maybe you've heard, but the Super Bowl turns 50 next Sunday. Panthers versus Broncos. The Carolinas were all dabbing. I can't believe I said that term, the Carolinas. I always think it was North Carolina and there's South Carolina. There's a difference. If you get mad at me, people, I don't care because I'm in North Carolina right now anyway. Anyway, part of the celebration, players and coaches from Super Bowl teams were able to give a gold football to their high school. Also made those schools eligible for athletic grants through the NFL. Edenton's Zach Valentine, a 1975 John A. Holmes grad, he was on the Steelers' winning Super Bowl XIV team. He brought one of those golden footballs to his alma mater on Monday. Of course, we're going to have an interview, a taped interview, of course, with Zach Valentine, now teaches at a high school in New Jersey, was the head coach for the school football for 10 seasons. We'll have that later on in the show. A wonderful time for Edenton, Malcolm. They pulled out the red carpet for Mr. Valentine. Just a wonderful ceremony for him and to present the school with that. A lot of people were pretty excited. The realignment talk, we'll go ahead and move on to that. Second draft shows little to no changes to conferences from the original. That original draft came out in December. The second draft came out around, I would say, Thursday, Friday of last week. And again, little to no changes to what would be the plan for 2017 through 2021 through the North Carolina High School Athletic Association. Still got Edenton, Gates, Perquimans, Camden, Plymouth, and Manio for a 1A league, while the Northeastern Coastal Conference stays the same, of course, minus Edenton. So you have Northeastern, Hertford County, Bertie, Currituck, First Flight, Pasquotank. There was an addition with a projected conference of Ocracoke, Cape Hatteras, Mad Mesquite, Columbia, and Kressel. Beargrass Charter has now been put with those guys. That would be similar to the old Tideland Conference that was around before this current realignment model we're in right now. Those teams were together. Now Beargrass plays Northside, Southside, Pamlico schools, but now they're going to be in this league with their old buddies. Guys, if it looks like this is going to be finalized by late spring, are you in favor of these leagues? Do these conferences look good?
Well, in terms of travel and trying to keep, you know, old rivals together, especially for the proposed 6-team conference in 1A, it looks pretty good for the local teams, including Camden and Pequimas.
What you think, Randy?
Well, you know, just like I said, just go back to the old Thailand conference you said back in the day. It's a good fit. You know, it's better for those teams to play, even if they got to play each other 2 and 3 times. You know, it's better for the students, better for the fans, and better for them travel-wise. And, you know, some of the games that they've been playing against some of the teams upper class, you know, they get not favorable results. And I think this will be more to the liking of those teams. And, you know, I don't know how strong they'll be in playoffs with that small 1A conference, but, you know, still be a lot of more success and more opportunities for wins for those schools.
I think a lot of people were surprised to see that Camden wasn't going to be lumped in with those schools, because you, a lot of times this is done strictly on geography, guys. And in this situation, it was looked at differently, and I think for the best. Pequimans and Camden should be in a conference together. I don't see why anyone would have a disagreement with that. They play each other, they're rivals, they're close by, it brings big gates. This 1A conference, the travel is going to be very limited. Always a good thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the way around, this is going to be good. Competition will be good. I mean, it's going to be tough winning some games in this 1A conference. Edenton might look like they're the big dog, but not so fast. Edenton will still be a 1A school for a reason. I mean, right now they're at about 602 students. I'm projecting they'll be below 600 by this time next year. I mean, they keep dropping. Before the last realignment, they were at about 720. So that's a big drop in students. Not really sure where it's coming from. There's not a lot of industry in Edenton, and if there was, I didn't see them leaving. So no telling what the reasons for it are, but Edenton now a 1A school. So looking forward to that. I don't see any other changes from now on. So this very likely the finished product. Okay, Elizabeth City State football, the elephant in the room once again. Another week goes by. No updates on new coach, anybody. I wish we had those updates. Nothing to be heard on that front. Natives are restless. and we're into 80 days since the job became vacant. How much, Randy, does this uncertainty hurt recruiting and just a general rebuilding of the program?
Well, you know, Owen, you know, I can speak not only as a voice of the Vikings, but, you know, as a alum, it is very, very detrimental to the 2016 season going forward. I mean, National Signing Day is right around the corner. I believe it's February 3rd. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, I'm just kind of torn about the whole situation, to be honest with you. I felt like maybe the program needed a change, you know, with the coaching change. I didn't think it was going to be this long of a drought and us even, you know, naming a coach, you know. But, you know, I just maybe, you know, and I second-guess the decision sometime, too, to be honest with you, you know, whether replacing Tiller was a good thing or not. I mean, very limited resources. I mean, you know, in the conference, you know, battling in the Northern Division, which has been the toughest division of the CIAA for the last 3 years. I mean, not getting blown out, competitive, you know, stabilize the program. Now, you know, I don't know what to look forward to coming up for this season.
The uncertainty, I think, is what bothers people more than anything else. Malcolm, Randy hit it right on the head with the National Signing Day coming up next Wednesday, I believe, February 3rd. No idea of a coach in sight. Looks like there won't be one by that day. Where does ECSU go from here?
Well, they're going to have to piece it together. Whatever guys that they can get after the signing day, whatever the second or third tier guys that they can kind of cobble together, that's probably going to be their best way in terms of bringing in a 2016 class.
Randy, of course, as you mentioned, go ahead.
No, you know, I was just saying, you know, just like you said, you know, you're going to have to probably just, you know, some guys are going to be in a wait-and-see mode. You know, Virginia State just had their coach resign. They immediately named the interim coach. You know, I would have been more in favor if we had just went on and named someone interim, you know, regardless of who it was, one of the assistants. Therefore, we could, you know, just move forward with recruiting, have some guys, say, even some local guys, you know, Jamon Oatman, who might because considering ECSU to say, well, okay, now that I know this guy, he's going to be the coach, I might consider ECSU. But some local kids, we'll probably lose out on them as well.
Yeah, and again, like you said too, this losing out on recruits, that's just not good. And a lot of talk has been about not hitting on those local recruits the last couple of years. This isn't helping that situation whatsoever. Supposedly, the interim co-coaches would be Alvin Parker, Marcus Hilliard. Even though if you look on the website and look through the roster, all it does is wipe Waverly Tiller's name off. It doesn't mention that, but that's the word we got from the school. What more we know about that? There isn't. But we do know Shaw's still looking for a coach. St. Augs does have an interim coach in place right now. And like you said, Randy, Virginia State, which seems like every year they have a new coach. but mostly it's because their coaches are moving on to greener pastures. It's not such a bad thing. They're winning. But they've got an interim coach in place. So there's a lot going on in the CIAA.
Yeah. Owen, I would just like to say, you know, I think for everybody, CSU and just alums abroad, we just want some finalization to the process. You know, let's get a coach. Let's move forward. And let's try to build something, you know. Let's try to build. We still have some pieces coming back. A lot of guys, young guys that played last year that contributed for ECSU. And, you know, hopefully some of those guys will come back and we could just move forward. And I think that's what everyone in the Viking community wants. We want to just get a coach, get some stabilization within the program, and move forward and try to compete for a championship.
Well, now that it's been so long, that doesn't mean you're getting desperate, but – what about Antonio Moore at Northeastern? Master's degree, ECSU guy. He's been interested in the job. Would you be okay with that?
Well, you know, that decision is not going to be mine. You know, I personally know Coach Moore, Viking grad, alum, just like you said, guy does have the credentials and things like that. But, you know, that wouldn't be my decision. Would I be for it or against it? I'm not for it. I'm not against it. I mean, I just want us to pick whoever the best coach we can get at this point in time.
Well, let's another hypothetical. Let's put you, you're the voice of the Vikings. We're going to put you as an advisor for the program.
Yeah.
What are the three biggest priorities, other than obviously making this higher and just simply winning more? The three priorities that could at least make ECSU a contender again in the CIAA.
First of all, you know, we're going to have to give a little bit more money to the athletic program. You know, you look at the scholarships that ECSU has been able to offer compared to Winston-Salem State or even Chowans or Johnson C. Smith. I think we all are offering less than 10 scholarships. So, first of all, money, you know, and a commitment to winning. And, you know, I think that starts at the top. You know, we have a new chancellor, Chancellor Conaway. And I think he's going to get in, get settled, and look at the program as well and to see what the needs are. You know, but money is always, you know, a big factor, and scholarships. And also, I think another thing, too, maybe a few upgrades over at Roebuck Stadium, you know. I mean, just a few upgrades, a little paint, you know, maybe a new turf or something like that. Just some upgrades to the facility. So I think money and, you know, scholarships and just maybe some upgrades to the facility. I think that could help catapult the program and attract some different type of players for us.
Yeah. Well, we know alums and fans such as yourself have reacted in a tough way so far to such a long wait for a coach, but there are some people, Malcolm, who have put together a song to inspire a hire. Let's just take a listen.
There comes a time when we miss too many plays, when the NENC must come together as one.
There are players hurting, and it's time to give them a ball at this, the greatest gift of all.
We want a coach. We want winning football. We want to know after 80 days the program's still living. There's a choice not made yet. but we're going out of our minds. It's true, the Vikings need a brighter day. Let me leave.
This is Coach Paul Hoggard of Edenton Holmes High School, and you're listening to NENC Sports Radio Show.
Always got to make sure we have a Randy Jones selection on the show.
Yeah, you like what? That P-Funk.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that.
I was going to have something like, you want fries or that shake?
Nah, we good. Just some P-Funk and we'll keep it moving.
All right. Let's do some funk and Shamal now.
Shamal, Shamal, get on me, all right.
Ever had this happen? You're invited to read a document via email or whatever kind of social media. Then when you try to open it, you have to request permission to see said document. I already get this kind of treatment from car mailers. It says sensitive info, only to be opened by Owen Hassel, or a current resident. Then you open it up, it says, you've won the chance to receive keys that could open a box that contains keys that open the trunk of a vehicle that has keys to a 1993 Dodge Neon. If you're giving me permission, don't later put me into submission. Shamal now.
Shamal. Shamal.
Okay, Zach Valentine said he was ready for a career in the military until his Edenton coaches said, hey, buddy, you got some athletic talent. Let's see what you could possibly do at the next level. Sure enough, he goes, has a great career at East Carolina, gets picked up by the Pittsburgh Steelers in a pretty good time frame for the Steelers. A rookie in the 1979 season, got to play alongside Terry Bradshaw, Mean Joe Green, Franco Harris, was coached by Chuck Knoll. That obviously means he won a Super Bowl. But he hasn't forgotten his roots with the Aces. So here's more from the Super Bowl champion.
Exciting is it to come back home, even though I know you do it from time to time to see family, but to come back to your high school and see students and talk to them about your experiences?
Well, the excitement is in what I see in the students. I say to myself, it's the excitement that I've seen in the students, the ones that come around and ask questions, the ones that didn't know that that I played professional sports or someone in their hometown played at that level. It was exciting for me because of the how attentive they were into what I was saying. And it was awesome the way they did it. Allowed me to see that they were receiving what was being said. I enjoyed coming home and seeing that. And like I was telling the football team, there are days that I watch the practice from the side. I don't get involved that much with them, but I watch it because their season starts earlier than mine do up in New Jersey. But it's always good coming back.
Mm. And the Golden Football, the Super Bowl, tell us a little bit about that and how that came about.
Well, this is the fifth year for Super Bowls, and to commemorate that, the NFL has given every high school that had a player to play in the Super Bowl or coached in the Super Bowl, giving them a Golden Football with the player's name on it, the Super Bowl year, and the high school name on it as well. And that's a football that stays in the trophy case or on display. And the players and or the coach also get one of those balls for their own personal memorabilia. But I think it's a great gesture because, you know, it's happened all around the country.
The moment that sticks out to you the most about that Super Bowl?
Winning it. And you know, besides winning it, it was an awesome game, a game that we were behind. Although we were picked by 8 or 12 points to win it against the Rams that year. Pittsburgh had just come off of a Super Bowl the previous year, Super Bowl 13, and won that against the Cowboys. And we're going back the second year in a row, 4 or 5 years, I think it was. But it was awesome because we had just returned from the previous Super Bowl and to see that, you know, that team had, I think, 8 Hall of Famers on that football team, 8 or 9. And it's amazing how putting all those things together, everybody work on one accord.
Any stories with Mean Joe Green, Terry Bradshaw, Lambert, these types of guys that people know all about Steelers?
Well, they wanted to win. You know, Joe played defensive tackle. We played beside each other. Joe was one of the guys that, you know, I've been involved in martial arts for a long time, and I'm a second degree black belt. And some of the hand techniques, I taught Joe some of the techniques that we do. And now you see a lot of teams using some of the martial arts with defensive linemen and offensive linemen hand technique. Joe and I became very good friends even my freshman year, my rookie year in Pittsburgh, where he told me himself during the summertime that when I saw his third Super Bowl ring, championship ring, that summer in July, he told me that we'll get one this year also, that we'll get you one.
Hey, this is Bria representing the ECSU D-Lights cheerleading squad, and you're listening to NENC Sports Radio Show on WRVS 89.9.
You've got to have an ace in the hole.
Of course, we've talked about the ace in the hole, being Zach Valentine presenting the Edenton Aces with that golden football. But there's another one in Northeastern North Carolina that got to do the same. And that's where we get into the Twitter shouts.
NENC Twitter shouts.
This from Curry Tuck football coach John Wheeler. John Wheeler was not the one to present a golden football. This is his tweet, everybody. At Curry Tuck FB. Of course, he's been on the show a few times. Amazing that we have two from NENC Sports who received an NFL Golden Football Award. Shout out to Edenton Aces and Gates County Red Barons. That's right, Gates. Thomas Smith, the Gates alum. Play for the Bills, Malcolm, in the 1990s. Of course, you play for the Buffalo Bills in the 1990s. Pretty good chance you went to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
We didn't say when. Did not say when, but you got to the Super Bowl, and that's what he did. I think mostly played special teams. Either way, he was in the show, and he was able to present a golden football to the Red Barons. Just a wonderful, wonderful time, really, for all of NFL that they can reach out like this. The footballs are sharp. They really are. They've got the, obviously it's all gold, and it says Super Bowl 50 commemorative, and it says on the 50. Pretty neat.
Very cool.
And on the back it says whatever high school it's being given to, the player's name of that time. It has everything in pretty good detail. So really, really neat. I'm sure a lot of people, if they go to the Eaton Gym, need to take a look at that as they walk into there. Anyway, we encourage all of you to tweet about NENC Sports, and yours might get put on the air. Just post your thoughts or questions. We'll try to answer them. Use the hashtag NENC Sports. Winter sports update from the high school ranks. Curry Tuck Wrestling beat First Flight in Northeastern. They wrapped up a second straight Northeastern Coastal Conference title. Knights are going to be in Edenton, actually, on Saturday for the NCC Individual Championships. I'll be there for the coverage. Malcolm's going to have a preview story on the event in Saturday's Daily Advance featuring Aces heavyweight Jarvie Thomas. Northeastern Coastal Conference / Coastal 10, because there are Coastal 10 teams, the swimming championships were held on Wednesday. Malcolm, you were there for that. Any highlights?
Well, first of all, on First Flight, took both the boys and girls team championships by a pretty good margin. Standout for Northeastern for the girls, Emily Bro and Julian Connor, both won individual events. For the boys, John Meets for Northeastern, he won an event and was named Swimmer of the Year for the Northeastern Coastal Conference. For the Coastal 10, Ethan Jones for Camden, he also won an event and was also named the Boys Swimmer of the Year for the conference.
Some good stuff there at the Albemarle Family YMCA on Wednesday. Let's get the basketball. Northeastern survived at First Flight 77-66, still unbeaten in the Northeastern Coastal Conference. Randy, I know you were there as an official. Do the Eagles lose again in the regular season?
It's hard to say, Owen, but
I think it's easy to say.
I'm going to say no.
Right.
They don't have to make another trip to Bertie, do they?
No, they've already won at Bertie.
Well, no, I would say no, that Eagles don't lose again. But I will say that the conference tournament is going to be a humdinger. You know, teams playing each other three times, you know, two and three times. Don't be surprised to see some upsets in the NC Coastal tournament when it pops off.
Yeah, there usually are a few upsets. I mean, Edenton a couple years ago came out of nowhere and won the tournament. Of course, the biggest upset might have been last year because there was no tournament thanks to the snow and ice and craziness. They ended up just playing what amounted to a championship playoff seeding type game between Northeastern and Bertie. Northeastern won. Hopefully that does not happen again this year, that we got that little bit of snow and stuff out of the way last week. Trey Burton, let's talk about him with the Currituck boys, had 30 points. Pretty much the fighting Trey Burtons of Currituck beating Edenton for their first conference victory. And again, Randy, you were at the game Wednesday with Bertie and Currituck. Trey must have been give out.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, back-to-back nights for Currituck. You know, he scored 30 points. He basically put him on his back last night from what I was told. And just looked a little flat tonight. He had a lot of wide-open shots. A couple of them went in and went out. And I could sense he was a little bit frustrated, you know. But, you know, just, you know, those guys playing about seven only. And I think Coach Willie's getting each and every ounce of all that they have to give each and every night. So it's tough playing back-to-back nights.
Lady Knights are still second in the conference after beating Edenton. However, did lose to Bertie. So Bertie girls still undefeated, still many polls, state ranked in the top five. Tough for them, too, to go back and back to back because Edenton is in the top half of the girls as far as the Northeastern Coastal. And then you play them and then Bertie, just too much athleticism for the Lady Falcons. Pasquotank boys went to Bertie, everybody, and won. A big-time win for the Panthers. They've won four in a row now. Corey Jackson becoming a beast in the paint. 22 points, 19 rebounds at Bertie. I'm going to say it one more time. At Bertie, that is a difficult place to play, whether it's the old gym or the new gym. Doesn't matter. You're in Windsor. Tough place to play. Pasquotank pulling out that victory. They're now 4-4 in the conference and get a couple more victories. They could finish as high as maybe, say, third in the conference, and that's a good look because winning percentage, third in the conference, you might squeeze out a home berth for the state playoffs. And some of that will probably depend on what Pasquotank does in the conference tournament. Randy, you just alluded to it. Always a surprise or two in the conference tournament. Do you think Pasquotank could be that surprise team?
I really think Pasquotank can be that surprise team. They're starting to play good basketball second half of the season. And like you said, Corey Jackson now, you know, his mind is caught up with his body. You know, it's starting to click for the big guy, you know. And, you know, he's really developed into a heck of a post player for Pasquotank and Coach Barlow. And Panthers are a team that will be reckoned with here down the stretch.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mel.
And I was going to say, Jermon Oatman in spurts during the game, he'll find his way to get on the boards and he'll make a couple shots here. Second chance points. He's kind of that X factor. And Jamonte Johnson, he's starting to come along as of late as a shooter on the outside.
This is a team in Pasquotank that talent-wise, you think could challenge Northeastern. Didn't the first go around, but talent-wise, I think it could very easily be the second best team in the conference when they're playing at their best. And I'm saying that kind of thinking about Pasquotank football and what happened, but I don't see the same thing with basketball. I see a team that hasn't fallen off the rails like that. It's a team that's still legitimate, a team that you got to come out and play. It's not going to be an easy victory. So, hey, Panthers are on a roll. So how can we leave out last week in the power rankings, our buddy B-Money, Brandon Young, and the women's girls? We were talking back and forth on Twitter, basically having a good time about it, and he was thinking, how could you put Ocracoke above us? And how could you put these teams above us? Hate to say it, but the Lady Pirates lost at Ocracoke on Wednesday. Tough look. Oh, tough league in the Coastal 10 going down to the island. And then to another island, because you go to Hatteras Island and Ocracoke Island. Make the long trip and get that loss. Tough times, but the team is finally healthy. They are winning as a result of that, other than Wednesday against Ocracoke. It looks like Brooke Women's could finish no worse than third in the conference. I think if they can win out, especially if they beat Plymouth on Friday, that's going to be a test whether they had beaten Ocracoke or not. So who knows? That Coastal 10 is very wide open in the girls now that there's no Kayla Ballard in Gates anymore. Northeastern girls beat First Flight on Tuesday, 51-29. Aaliyah McNeil, 26 points. Brianna Proctor, sophomore, 11 points, but more importantly, 29 rebounds. Now, what are you doing to get 29 rebounds?
You throw it up on the backboard and you go get it, and you throw it up again and you go get it, and you throw it up again and you go get it. Then you score a bucket. You get 4 rebounds on one play.
Yeah.
Saw it 4 or 5 times.
Yeah. I'm glad Randy Jones said. I did not say that. Randy Jones said that. I call it the Chelsea Elliott effect. Chelsea Elliott, who played at Pasquotank, girl would do the same thing. I'm like, Chelsea, just go ahead and score. No, I need to get about 5 more of these. No, you need to go ahead and score. Chelsea now, as sweet as she can be, she plays for Elizabeth City State now for women's basketball and volleyball. Very good athlete. One of the best athletes, female athletes I've seen come out of Pasquotank. But she would have that same approach. Couldn't quite get it in the hole, but she could just grab her own rebound 2 or 3 more times. Stats are stats, and it's a rebound, so okay. 29 rebounds. Wow. More coaching news. Bertie looking to fill its football position by Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. That's right. The Falcons will have a coach before ECSU, most likely. I believe the Cubs will also win the World Series. And Clemson basketball will beat UNC in Chapel Hill before ECSU hires a football coach. Clay is saying, stop it, stop it, stop it. What the heck? It might be edited out, so. Because it's just that ludicrous. But are we going off the deep end, Randy?
Oh, boy. I'm pleading the fifth.
He's pleading the fifth because he likes it. I hear a little laughter in the background.
I'm pleading the fifth.
Okay, all-area banquet. That's on Saturday at Northeastern between 6 and 8 p.m. So we're looking forward to seeing the fall's best from the Daily Advance coverage area. College now. MacU basketball, Mid-Atlantic Christian, of course, and still not winning a whole lot. However, Friday and Saturday, they're going to donate what they make from tickets to Dr. Claudio Divino. They're playing Friday and Saturday, of course, men and women. Divino, the former MacU men's soccer coach, had to step down from that job. Wife battling serious complications from lymphoma. Needs some more help with medical bills. Of course, our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family. Nice for MacU to step up like that.
Absolutely.
and help out with any type of, I think they're half of their proceeds from any athletic gear they sell and concessions is also going. So that could be a decent amount of change, depending on who shows up Friday and Saturday for their games. ECSU on Wednesday, the women lost to Virginia Union. I don't know if I have a men's score yet from Virginia Union. I should. But obviously, you can always follow us on Twitter. I'm sure it's already up. Better be up by now. How the Vikings fared in Richmond. Makeup against Virginia State that was supposed to be last Saturday, then they moved it to Monday, and they said, well, the snow is still too much on campus. Now it's going to be February 8th. So that's that makeup there. Next for the Vikings, winter homecoming Saturday. Of course, that's at the Vaughn Center against Bowie State. So let's close it up. Remember to follow us on Twitter, at NENC Sports, ONOBX.
I'm Malcolm _ Shields.
For the latest sports updates, and pick up a copy of the Daily Advance newspaper. We almost always go beyond our radio time, so if we do, go ahead and check out nencsports.podomatic.com for a podcast version of the show that has it all. Also, buy the shirt, the NENC Sports t-shirt. Just ask for one at your favorite area high school. It's $10, and all $10 goes back to the athletic department where you bought the shirt. And I'm just getting it here, 73-68, Virginia Union men against Elizabeth City State. So another heartbreaker for Coach Dunk's crew. Support your school. Support the athletes in Northeastern North Carolina. Thanks again, as far as a shirt, to Rick Dern and Biggs Cadillac Buick GMC, Rowan Hassel, Malcolm Shields, the voice of the Vikings, Randy Jones. Randy, you going to be back on with us sometime soon?
Hey, man, I'm always available and on. You and Malcolm, thanks for all you guys do for all the student athletes in Northeastern North Carolina, for all the sports fans, too. A lot of people enjoy the show and I always enjoy being on. Thanks so much.
That's great, Randy. We look forward to seeing you soon. It's the NENC, and don't you see, athletes live here.
NENC Sports Radio Show is produced at the WRVS-FM studios on the campus of Elizabeth City State University.